What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. Welcome to Fightful. Here with a name you know. We haven't talked to her in maybe a couple years now, but by God, she's back.
In a minute.
In the ugliest outfit I have ever seen in my entire life. Horrible.
Swag. If you had this much swag, you wouldn't wake up tomorrow.
I'm begging you to get some fashion sense about you. Just begging you to. We got Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, who you can see AEW Wednesday Night Dynamite taking on Serena Deeb at the 5-year anniversary show. Britt, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm excited. It's so refreshing to be home in the City of Champions. 6-time Super Bowl champs, Steel City, Steel Curtain. Feels good.
How are you feeling about Justin Fields?
I like Justin Fields. I just got into a little debate about this earlier. What, three rushing touchdowns, three touchdown passes already? I don't think we had that the whole season last year from our quarterback selection. So I'm kidding, we did. But it's a growing season, and we're still 3-1. So
I mean, listen, that is, as a Bengals fan, something I truly despise about the Pittsburgh Steelers is that their bad seasons have like 9 wins, 10 wins. Mm-hmm. It's good coaching. It's good preparation. I'll give them that. I can't hate on that as a fan of the most woefully unprepared team in the NFL every single season. But man, you've competed through an awful lot. I remember a time when you and I were doing an interview. I think it was Dave Koechner, or is that who it was that walked by us?
Yes.
And he was making excuses to not go to dinner. And he's like, I broke my leg. And you're like, yeah, I broke my leg. And then I wrestled.
Yeah.
And he goes, no, you didn't. And I was like, well, yeah, she did. And also she did through a broken nose and a broken wrist. It became like such a common thing for you. So when you battle something like what you told us that you battled last year, how difficult is that for you where physically you can't really fight through that and wrestle in the ring like some of the other things that you force yourself through?
You know, I don't really view it as like battling, because I think of like battling kind of as like you're fighting against something, and I was just fighting to do something. Like, I love wrestling, and no matter how bad it hurts or how frustrated you are, how down you are for the day, at the end of the day, like I love pro wrestling. So it's not bad. Like I said, I'm not battling against it. I'm just like doing everything I can to keep doing it.
And for you, as somebody who has not only competed through injuries, but while you're injured, you've done character work that has made you just as over as anything else. Was that something that you were like eager to do anyway? Or were you just like, you know what, maybe I should take time off for the first time in my career?
Man, thinking back of the first injury, the first major injuries with the broken leg and the broken nose, that was such a growing period for me, both on and off camera. I just really learned a lot about pro wrestling and character work and promo work and just how it's so, sometimes more important than the matches. If people don't care about the story, if they don't care about the match itself, then they're not going to watch it or they're not going to care about it. And I think the biggest fear of any wrestler is when people just don't care about what you're doing. They don't care when you come out. They don't boo, they don't cheer. It's just like, oh, here's so-and-so. Like, I don't, that's every wrestler's worst nightmare for sure. But just when I, you know, was gone for almost a year, it was different this time around. It's, you know, injuries that really piled up. It was the TIA, and it was just, you know, Dr. Baker had been such a mainstay of the AEW women's division for so long. Like, at some point you got to ride the wave. You're up and then you're down. It was time to be down. It was time to go away. It was time to build the division around someone else, around new stars, and build new stars. And like, you can have all the wrestling star power in the world, but if you don't have dancing partners to dance with, then who cares? Because at the end of the day, you need a wrestling roster. You need a wrestling team that people are going to want to watch. There's no one in pro wrestling that is bigger than the company they work for right now. So I could be the biggest star in the world. No one's going to tune in just to watch me. They might tune in to watch one of my matches. They might tune in to watch something they're excited about. But you need other people to help with that. You can't do it all on your own. And I think the AEW Women's Division has grown exponentially and has been fantastic in the last year, 2 years, actually. And whether I'm there physically or not, I'm still a part of it. And I'm part of the growth and the birth of that. So I'm proud every time there's a huge stepping stone or milestone for the AEW Women's Division. Like, it makes my heart happy, and I'm so happy and I'm so excited because it's like, that's my baby, the AEW Women's Division. And I want it to grow. I want it to succeed for many years to come.
So what goes through your mind after all that time off, you're backstage awaiting your return, awaiting that reaction? What was going through your mind at that point? I believe it Forbidden Door.
I was about to throw up. I told Tony, like, I'm going to throw up. I was in gorilla standing, and he's like, why? And I said, I don't think they're going to care. And he's like, it's the stupidest fucking thing you've ever said. I was really, really, really concerned and really nervous that the fans were just not going to care at all. And I think that's anybody's fear when you're gone for so long, or what feels like eternity. I mean, like, for a lot of fans, our sense of time and their sense of time is very different, because every week you're at home feels like a year. For them, it flies by. But I was so it was one of the most nervous moments I've ever, because I had no control. It wasn't a match that I could like contribute to or make worse or have a great spot or have a shitty spot. It was like I had no control. All I was doing was walking out. It's not a promo where I can twist and turn the words to make it one way or another. Just walking out. What more can you do except hope and pray the fans remember you and miss you and give a shit?
I've always felt like you being the first woman signed to AEW sort of put a target on your back for criticism, a lot of things like that. Like, no matter what, you'll be viewed at in a different way. Like, you were chosen as the first one because you were chosen as the first one. It was mm-hmm. abundantly clear after the first All In that you were a talent that a TV property should want. How was that for you to adjust to and know? I mean, that carries over today, even disagreements that you have behind the scenes, or whether your match is great or however people feel about it, you're yeah. probably more susceptible to criticism.
It's, you know, heavy is the head that wears the crown. It's the nature of the business. It doesn't matter what company, what business, what promotion, there's always people that are going to be heavily criticized. And you know what, is as much as it hurts sometimes, I think what hurts me most is when people run with rumors or concepts or ideas that are just not true. And if I sat here all day and fought off or batted down everything that I heard about myself that wasn't true, I would spend my entire day on social media. So I don't do that. I actually like delete the app most of the time, unless I have something to promote or unless it's a Steelers game, I get chalk shit to Bengals fans. But I think that's what's more frustrating than any of the criticism. Cause I would like to say for most like genuine wrestling fans, like criticism comes from a good place, just because they might not be able to communicate that properly or respectfully. That's one thing, but just running with a rumor, people build whole podcasts around a one sentence rumor they heard about me that's not real. And someday I can't wait to do a tell all. It's going to be very eye opening for a lot of people, but you just got to let it roll off your back, because I can't control. That's the thing, is I'm a control freak in all aspects of my life. Like, I was the kid in school that like really took the reins of the group project because I wanted it to be perfect. And I like to have control of things. You can't have control of the narrative people are going to say about you. They're going to hear something. If it doesn't fit their narrative of what they want it to be, they're going to twist it and turn it so it does anyway. That's okay. You can do that. I'm at the point in my career where I'm happy. I know what goes on and what doesn't. Whatever you heard about me, it's true. Whatever you heard I said, it's true. I said it. I did it. I don't care, because it gets to a point where it's laughable. You can't lose sleep. You can't sit at home and cry because people say you're a bully, you're this, you're that. At the end of the day, my priority, my passion is pro wrestling. I love the AEW Women's Division. I love AEW. I love pro wrestling. I watch both companies religiously. And that's more my focus now, is like, how can we make pro wrestling better? Because we can't control the Twitter or X or Instagram bullshit rumors, but you can work on making the product better. You can work on building bigger stars. You can work on, you know, growing the AEW audience, crossing over into mainstream media. And I'll leave it at that.
You were the 2022 Fightful Award winner for Women's Best on Promos, as voted on by our audience. Do you have a specific promo that you remember? And when you got back, you were like, yeah, that was a home run. That one hit. Because, I mean, you've had some really great, like, I really love the stuff you did with Mercedes kicking off that feud. But, I mean, even before then, was there anything that you were like, home run?
I really liked the promo that Mercedes and I had, the contract signing. Where were it? Was that Wales? Cardiff? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I really liked that. First off, the crowd, insane, nuclear. We got to, you know, kick off the show, but also there's a lot of truth to it. I, you know, when I say Mercedes is one of my massive inspirations and a reason why I wrestle today, like I mean that. I'm such a fan of her. It was surreal to me to get to work with her on such a huge platform. It's still surreal to me. And I'm, you know, super grateful that she also gave me that opportunity to that, like, hey, that's for bigger. I'm going to work with her. What, like, if you would have told me that back in 2015, when I started wrestling, I would have been like, Mercedes knows who I am. What? It's crazy. So it's, you know, it's just evolution. And I'm that I think that for that alone, that's one of my favorite promos. Cause I got to say a lot of my truth to Mercedes' face, like, you walk so girls like me could run. And I think that you can feel that, you know, when a wrestler means what they're saying, you know, when there's a passion that comes from that place too. And sometimes we're so good at promos that we can bamboozle you all into thinking that some of the mean and nasty shit is real too. And that, I love that just as much. So I love all my heel promos just as much as more than the babyface ones.
A reminder, guys, AEW Dynamite Wednesday, the 5-year anniversary, 8 p.m. Before we wrap up, we're going to get some nice headlines out of you, Britt. Some very nice ones. I do a segment called Shooting Softly, where I ask you to say nice things about people that I bring up. It doesn't, like, when I did it with Daniel Garcia, he did it as a word association thing. You can do it as that, or you can expand on it. But we will start with your opponent this week, Serena Deeb.
Is it? And it's like a couple sentences.
You can, however long you want, a couple sentences, a word, a few paragraphs, a dissertation. I don't care.
I think Serena is a perfect example of someone who bet on herself. I mean, Serena was a coach at the Performance Center, and now she's the luxury of wrestling Dr. Britt Baker DMD in Pittsburgh this week. But no, in all seriousness, I think Serena is one of the best technical wrestlers in the game, and crazy to think that we wouldn't have seen her on TV wrestling most likely if she wouldn't have bet on herself. So I think that's definitely a good example.
A woman who helps out a lot backstage, Sarah Stock.
Love Sarah Stock. I pick her brain. She actually trained with me when I was coming back from all my many injuries from the TIA, and I think she's incredible. I studied a lot of her Mexico matches, actually, and Stardom matches, and anytime you have a fierce woman helping lead the charge in the back, like, sign me up. I hope I can be that one day.
Hikaru Shida, who you have had some really good matches with.
In a lot of ways, the heart and soul of the pandemic era, because people, you know, don't remember her iconic title reign was in front of no fans. And I think she's someone, she can pull a great match out of anyone. She has such an awesome attitude. She's someone too that anytime I'm down and out, she's always there to kind of like lift my chin up a little bit, like, hey, keep your head up, Britt. And girls like that are the most valuable players at all times, I think.
And last one, Kevin Owens.
Kevin Owens probably needs to floss more, but I think Kevin Owens, man, Kevin Owens is someone that I call a dear friend. And I think he's one of the best pro wrestlers on the planet, one of the best entertainers, so clever, so smart, one of my favorite promos. But on top of that, just such an awesome guy, such a great person, and someone that anytime I need advice in the ring, outside of the ring, that's someone I'm never afraid to go to, and someone that I know is always going to be real with me, and someone that you can trust. And that goes a long way in professional wrestling, being able to trust people, to be honest with you, to be, you know, kind with you, and to have your back.
I refer to him as the greatest moral compass in pro wrestling. A guy knows right from wrong. And I encourage you guys to check out AEW Dynamite, the 5-year anniversary show. Britt, it was great to talk to you again.
Hey, great to talk to you. Here we go, Steelers.
Until next time, we're out.
There is no product that we have promoted more on Fightful that I use while I'm awake than NordVPN.com/Fightful. You guys have probably seen me anchored to my desk an awful lot for quite a while, and I've always got NordVPN on all my devices. That's because that's what NordVPN.com/Fightful allows. You get the fastest VPN in the world on all your devices, on all your operating systems. It is so beneficial to have that versatility. Here at home, I put it on my router just in case, and I put it on my phone, laptop, desktop, PC, and smart TV. That allows you to get all the benefits. The online threat protection, the ability to change your virtual location with just one click, the ability to use that NordPass password manager, the file encryption tool, all that good stuff on everything. Also, you can subscribe to all those overseas services I'm telling you all about, all with 24/7 tech support and a 30-day money-back guarantee on top of an already amazing deal. Protect yourself on all your devices with NordVPN.com/Fightful.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.